One of the popular phrases used today is the word transparency. In other words, we should be more transparent, or we should demand more transparency. We expect and even demand politicians to be transparent or forthright, because through this we feel that we're better connected to them. Acknowledging our own trials and triumphs humanizes us and helps us lead toward having more authentic relationships. In the same way, God demands our spiritual transparency so we can view sin as he does and subsequently ask for mercy. In part 6 of our series on the Beatitudes, Pastor Jerry Seawright comes from Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, with a sermon called Mercy Mission. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Amen, amen. And while we stand, let's join with me in a quick word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now, Lord, and as always, Father, we magnify, we lift up your name, Father. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for simply who you are. Lord, on today we ask that you touch your servant, Father, to deliver the message that you want delivered to your people. Father, help them to grow in grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Be seated. If you have Bibles or access to a Bible, I will ask that you turn to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, 5th chapter, verses 3 to verse 12. And I'm going to ask that you read the New King James Version, the New King James Version. Today I will use the ESV, the English Standard Version, but we're going to read together from the New King James Version. And while you are turning there to the 5th chapter of Matthew, 5th chapter of Matthew, verses 3 to 12, just a couple of quick announcements or things I want to follow up on. One is, as always, I encourage everyone to attend Sunday school and Tuesday night service. I can't express how important this is to your Christian development. Okay, I'm telling you time and time again that this is where you get the meat of the matter. As we come up here on Sunday, you know, if I try to pretty much dissect Scripture to a point where, you know, where we would on Tuesday, sermons would take a long time to finish up. So I ask you all to come and really get down to where the rubber meets the road on Tuesday nights and in Sunday school. In addition to that, I want to turn your attention again to the 30 days of united prayer that we have going on. I don't know if you all have followed it this week, but man, those names of God, man, they're tough, ain't they? They're good, they're good. So I thank Brother Mike and the media team for just posting those regularly and faithfully, and Man, like I said, it's good stuff. Now, on the traffic end of things, I'm not all that swift with the social media stuff, but when we had our previous one, we had more traffic, whatever that means. Now I'm asking that, you all come aboard, and I'm assuming the traffic means more visitors coming to the website, Facebook and stuff. Am I right? All right, cool. Yeah, so more likes and all that. So we're looking for you all to check in and take part of that prayer. And that prayer helps. That prayer helps. It's tough. The last announcement, or the last thing I want to draw your attention to, is Kensington Church. In efforts to aid Pontiac schools, they're having a concert. This concert will take place on September 20th. And they asked me to open up the affair with a speech. They've also set tickets aside for our church to purchase. The tickets are $15 each. And hopefully this will lead to other united efforts between Kensington and New Life, efforts towards ministry. Amen? And lastly, I want to just emphasize to you all, this apologetic conference, man, you're talking about good steaks and potatoes. And that brother Moss, is his name Moss? You're probably familiar with him on the radio. He'll be there, and that's a tough dude. I mean, in terms of the scriptures and whatnot. So, I ask you all to prepare yourselves for that, and also let everyone know that they can come and take part of that delicious meal of the Word of God. Amen, amen. The title of today's message is Mercy Mission. And I'm going to concentrate on verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. This week, I heard a speaker on the radio, and he said something that really, really, really caught my attention. He said that the Christian life is one with nothing to hide. The Christian life is one with nothing to hide. Therefore, we Christians ought to be transparent. Transparent. Whoa. Transparent. You mean allowing another in to see the inside? Whoa. Whoa, to stop my efforts of giving the ideal impression and give them the tea about me. The tea about me. You know, I know there shouldn't be any tea, but give them the tea about me. Y'all know what tea means, right? The T, the 411, the information about me. And depending on who I give it to, that means I might give it to the universe. Right? Transparent. Ooh, that's huge. That's a difficult request to fulfill. In other words, that's a tall order. Whew. And maybe I don't have any dirty laundry. Maybe it's not about that. Maybe it's not about tea. But maybe it's about the doubts that I have within me. You know, sometimes I feel weak. Sometimes I feel like really vulnerable and to say to someone, I need you. Ooh, stronger than that. talking about I need somebody. But to say I need you. To trust someone with that information, transparency. Ooh. To tell someone that life beat me up to a point where I just felt like giving up. And to be that exposed to someone. Transparency. See, transparency would insinuate, if I were to like be transparent, it would let folks know that I am broken, that I'm not perfect. And it'll lead to them thinking that he's broken. He's broken. Wow. You know, one scripture came to mind when I continued to think this way. And that was 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. See, these messages up here are not for your entertainment, but it's to shift your thinking. Right? It's to shift your thinking. You are not to leave the same. Amen? We are to give you something from the Lord that will change you and make you more and more like him. More and more like him. That's the goal. Not for you to rest and feel at ease, but actually to make you feel a little uncomfortable, to move off that mark and to get closer to him. To change your ways. Yes, transparency. Yes. Why? Because we need each other. And when you know that you need one another, that means that you are at each other's mercy at times. I'm at your mercy. This is a mercy mission. So today, the text takes us back to when Jesus sat down to make it plain to hundreds of folks. And as I told you all before, the way the situation of the land was where mountains and hills and things of that nature were coming into play. And when he spoke, it echoed and bounced off of hard surfaces and it, blessed, 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 blessed. Right? And he got their attention. And at one point he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, each of these blessed, 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 they are not independent. They are actually together. First, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning that he wants you to embrace your poverty. You are bankrupt once it comes to spiritual things. You're bankrupt. And the Lord wants you to embrace this. Understand this. Understand that you have no way of repaying him for the offense or the offenses that you've made. This leads to your mourning. You're mourning over your offense because you finally see it like God sees it. And you say, Lord, have mercy. But then you go on because your poor or your poverty and then your mourning, it leads to your humbling. You're meek and you humble yourself before God and you are humble towards men as well. It goes on. And this develops a craving, another appetite. Now you're thirsting and you hunger to be more like him because you hunger and thirst for righteousness. But God is so good. God is so good because for poverty, he gives you heaven. He gives you salvation. For mourning, he gives you comfort. For meekness, he will give you a blessed life. And if you hunger and thirst for him, he will satisfy. He will satisfy. Amen? He will satisfy. So, what we actually see is that the way to being blessed is by brokenness. Amen? It actually is by brokenness. So the fifth beatitude is mercy. Now, we know that we are like I-75. And I-75 is under construction. Right? We know we are like I-75. They say there are two seasons in Michigan. It's winter and construction. And we got cones all over us. Barrels all over us because we are still under construction. Amen? And if we know that we're under construction, we know that we need mercy. We need mercy. Now, let me try to help you understand this mercy thing a bit more. And I want to throw out two words to help you understand. It's called propitiation and expiation. Say that real fast. Propitiation and expiation, not expialidocious, right? But those two words, let me help you out. Propitiation focuses on the fact that God is the offended party. God is the offended party. He is the victim, if you will. And he's the victim because you went against his will. You went contrary to how he wanted you to live. But expiation focuses on the fact that he, God, is the only one that can fix it. You did it, but he's the only remedy. Wow. You did it, but he's the only remedy. Mercy. Mercy is concerned with the misery brought upon the sinner as a consequence of their sin. Sin puts you in a miserable state. And God looked upon that. And he looked upon it and he was moved. And when he was moved, he gave you grace to take away the power of sin. But then he gave you mercy to take away the consequences of sin. Grace and mercy. Mercy is more than just a feeling. It shows God in action. He is in action. He saw your miserable state. You were poor. And he came in with salvation. You know, mercy, and Sproul uses a beautiful illustration of mercy. Mercy is not justice. Mercy is not injustice either. Mercy is not justice. Think about it. If you want God to be fair, and you say, God, I want you to be fair. Huh? You gone, right? You gone. You don't want God to be fair. Huh? But he used this illustration that I used before, and he said, imagine, if you will, a circle. And within this circle, you have justice. But outside this circle, you have two other things. You have injustice, and then you have non-justice. Justice is within the circle. You know, if you get justice, man, please, right? You're gone. But mercy is not injustice either. God did not do you wrong. You did him wrong. But God didn't do you wrong. But then there's this thing called non-justice. Mercy. Mercy is where God won't step back into that circle and tear you up. Justifiably. Justifiably. But he gives you mercy. That's who God is. That's who God is. And in Exodus 34, beginning at verse 6, he said, the Lord passed before him, which is Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's our God. That's our God. And he goes on in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter and the third verse, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Mercy is who he is. Mercy is an attribute of his. And look at Psalms 145:9. It says that the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. He is merciful to all. Merciful to all that he has made. But before you get it twisted, this is his mercy. Yes. Thank you, Lord. And his mercy is different from your mercy. And David knew that, because in the second Samuel verse 14 of chapter 24, this is what David said. He said, then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But let me not fall into the hand of man. This is God's mercy. You know, one of the things, and one of the reasons that, in fact, Elder Williamson taught this, one of the reasons why there was an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth was because, see, if... God said, tooth for tooth, eye for eye. You hit this tooth out, that's all you get is this tooth. So go up there with a chisel and get this one. Right? But all we have to do is get slapped. We want the eye. We want the tooth. Right? We want our arm. Somebody said cousin, right? We want it all, right? God had to regulate because our mercy is twisted. But his mercy is great. And guess what? He gives you new mercies. Day after day, he gives you new mercies. Morning by morning. Yesterday mercies don't work for today. He gives you new mercies. What a great God we serve. Wow. Now, we see that mercy originates with God, right? It's his character. We see that we don't have his type of mercy. Am I right? All right, I'm making sure, right? Then the other thing we see that mercy is what we need to get by because we are under construction still. Still. So okay. I get it. I appreciate mercy. I love mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I'm grateful for your mercy. Hallelujah, Lord. So what? If I'm grateful for it, then okay, what? Well, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Right? The second half of the verse gives you the grounds for as to why you are blessed. Right? Blessed because they have received mercy. And since they've received mercy, they can be merciful. God wants you to be merciful. So who's blessed? The merciful. Are blessed. That's a contradiction to what the world say. Matter of fact, that was a contradiction to what they said in Jesus' day as well. When Jesus said, just as MacArthur said, when Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, he lost the audience almost right there. Because back then, mercy wasn't valued. No, mercy was weak. In Rome, mercy was weak. There ain't no mercy going on here. Kill them. Kill them. No mercy going on. Mercy is weak. I'm talking about going in there and what's that term? Murking them. I think that means murder. You hear this slang sometimes and you're like, what? But that's what it means. You go in there, you all about the business of killing them. Right? And this Christian thing is so backwards from the world. They tell you to be meek. Jesus is telling you to be meek when the world is telling you, take no prisoners. Go out there and handle your business. Don't let nobody walk over you. Right? That's what the young guys, you know, I work with. Ain't nobody walking over me. Like, hold up. Hold up. Right? Hold up. But that's the message. Be strong. Don't take no stuff. Right? Don't take no stuff. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek. And blessed are the merciful. So we saw how this mercy is of God and that he gives it to all. He gives it to all. Guess what you're supposed to do? Give it to all. It's not no, I like her. So you good. But him over there? No. No. He said, God said, I gave it to all. And guess what? I didn't say to you just to give it to some. I said, give it to all. God wants you to be merciful. And shouldn't that be even more so in the house of God? Should anybody be concerned about transparency here in the midst of us talking about, I don't want to give my tea? Shouldn't we be better than that? We should be better than that. We should be better than that. And it is something that God requires. That's the big question. That's the big answer, rather, to the question. So what? Okay, God is merciful. Well, he wants you to be merciful too. Right? In James, second chapter in the 13th verse, it says, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Do y'all hear that? For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Do y'all get that? So if you're out there trying to be hard and ain't showing no mercy, no prisoners, right? Man, that stuff one day can come back. And when God opens that book and he says, you had an opportunity to show some mercy, and I see you're on your knees right now asking for mine. Huh? Huh? You know, saints, what is so interesting? Let me read this scripture first. Proverbs 11 and 17. It says this. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. A cruel man hurts himself. Saints, we've gotten so good at passing signs. When we're in our cars and you see them on the side of the road and you see them saying, we'll work for, or you got a dollar or something. And they're right here. We know. We know they're right there. Matter of fact, let me slide up a little bit because I don't want him in my view. I don't even want him in my view. I might start feeling mercy. I don't even want him in my view. And then we get rational about it. If I gave him some, all he will do. We make movies. All he'll do is get some Hennessy. And then he'll drink it. That's all he'll do. See, we make movies about it, right? But the point is what? Even if you don't give it to him, then did you say to yourself, well, okay, I'll help a cause another way. I'll give to something that is more regulated, that may benefit him, like a Salvation Army or something like that. See, here's the thing. God's grace, we may not be able to copy his saving grace on somebody, but we can extend God's mercy. You may not be able to do the grace, but you can do some mercy. Amen? You can do some mercy. Saving grace may not be doable, but mercy is. And God wants you to be merciful. That's what this is all about, saints. So it's about getting off of that spot. And now that you've heard this beatitude, what you're going to do? What are you going to do? This wasn't for your entertainment. This was for your behavior that will result into action, right? Right, for your thinking rather to result into action. Because when you see these Beatitudes, this one is coming from within, and it's supposed to show itself on the outside. Just thinking mercy ain't going to help somebody's needs. It's about thinking and then following it with some action. Amen? In conclusion, because God wants us to be like him. We saw God's mercy, and we saw the requirement that he wants us to be like him. And that made me think about the copy machine. I was at work, and I was using a copier. And when I used that copy machine, it had different, like, selections on it. One selection, you just go up and automatically, boom, it prints, and it actually prints out what you want it to print. It copies what you want. But then there was another where I hit it, and it said photocopy. It was interesting because when that one came out, the background was a little grayer. The paper wasn't as white and sparkly, but the print was more bold. It was more bold. And I said, wow, that's like us. We know that we are like I-75. It's a little gray. We know that we're not there yet, but we also know that God can show himself out in us if we just get out the way. And then that print of him and that image of him can come forth just like the words on that page. And it can come forth and it'll be so easily read for all to see. Can we do that? Even though we got our issues, Can we really concentrate on being more like him? Can we show some mercy in his house? Mercy in his house. His house. Boy, what a request to show mercy in his house. Can we support one another? Can I come to you and let you know I'm broken? And can I get help and rather judgment? You know, can I get some help rather than your pity? Can I do that? Can we do that? Because the truth is that we live lives so separate, so compartmentalized, that things happen and we don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But here's the deep thing. You see things, you know that things happen, right? Obviously, you're living. So some things are happening. So you know things are happening, but over here they don't know about it. The church say they don't know about it because you kept it to yourself. But here's the deep thing. When you go through that trial and you go through that tribulation and everything else, then all of a sudden some come back and they come to the church and say, nobody helped me. Nobody reached out to me. Nobody helped me. And the truth is, each Sunday, you know, someone comes and says, hey, how you doing? You all right? And you go, I'm good. I'm good. And people don't want to be intrusive, right? Hey, you broke? Hey, you got food? You got food? I mean, starting right off the bat, they see you, hey, brother, you got food? See, I mean, the easiest way and the safest way to come in to it is saying, hey, how you doing? You all right? That's the easiest way. We ain't trying to offend. Right? We're not trying to offend. And then if you let us in, maybe some ministry can go on. Maybe some mercy can go on. Right? If there's some letting in. Right? But some folks keep it to themselves and hold everyone else accountable for not helping for when they have kept it all private. You know, how was I supposed to know? If I'm coming to you and gingerly saying to you, hey, how you doing? You all right? Don't want to offend. I'm just checking. How you doing? You can let it out then. If I come to you and say, hey, how you doing? And you say, oh, my light's been cut off in my time. See? Then they're going to talk about you. That's what I want to move from. That's what I want to move from. That's what I want to move from. Blessed are the merciful. Why? Because they have received mercy. I want to move from that spot, church. And I want us to be able to show some mercy in this house. Can we stand? This message, and the messages prior to this, these messages are they're to challenge you. We don't want you to be the same. We don't want you to come in one way and leave the same. We want to move from a spot. And we want God to have his way in this church. But before, if you notice, before he talked about mercy, he started off saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we always have to go back to that point, because that is the point of salvation. The poor in spirit, the ones that were bankrupt, they cannot pay their way out of going to hell. Expiation said that I will pay the price. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come down here and to die on that cross for you. Even though the offense was ours, the work of salvation is his. And he's offering it to you today. Is there one? Is there one? We say, come. We say, come. We say, come. Don't let this moment pass you by. Come now. And for those who need work on this mercy thing, those who need prayer, I say come. For those who just say, you know, I don't trust these people. Talking about transparency and open up and mercy and telling them I'm broke and stuff. Man, I don't trust these folks. me tell you, you can trust the real ones. You can trust the real ones. And God has placed them here for you. Is there one? Man.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.